This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Athletic Greens. Ensure your body gets the nutrition it needs. Athletic Greens has a special offer for our listeners. Just go to athleticgreens.com/Spartan, and then when you place your order, they'll send you a free travel pack with 20 individually wrapped packets. That's a free offer just for our listeners.
Spartan Up guests, we are here. We got Colonel Nye, we got Seth for the Seed, we got Johnny the Doctor, we got Marion the...
Producer.
And we got Andrea, the technical assistant. And our guest is Robert Owens. And this guy is a badass. What's the deal? 66 years old?
Yeah. 66.
Right? 66 years old. Knocks out 7 marathons, 7 continents in 7 days. And that's like the tip of the iceberg.
Not even the hardest thing he did in that year.
By the way, there are 20-year-olds that couldn't do half of what this guy did.
And that don't look half as good as he does.
And so... I guess if you want to be incredible, if you want to look good in Sephra's eyes, you want to learn from this guy.
100%.
Let's watch and check out and listen.
Welcome to Spartan Up Podcast. I'm here with a really incredible guest. Sometimes we have athletes, sometimes we have business people. This guy covers the gamut. Robert Owens, welcome.
Hi. Yeah, thank
this is fantastic.
You.
You're welcome.
Here.
So, you know, when I was reading about you, one thing that really jumped out at me is how many events you are officially the oldest finisher of. So I expected I was going to meet, you know, this decrepit old fella.
I am.
No,
you're
anything.
You should see me get out of bed.
You're anything but. But anyway, just you know. So I want to ask, you know, how did you become? So I'm just going to list a couple, and I'm sure there's a lot more. But Kokoro, oldest finisher. Mm-hmm.
Do they know what Kokoro is?
Well, we're going to tell them. The 7 continents in 7 days. You did that very recently. 7 marathons in 7 days on 7 continents. So let's start by just talking about some of these endeavors and how old are you?
I'm 66.
Okay, so how did you end up being a 66-year-old guy finishing these events? So you can tell me a bit about each event too.
You know, it's a crazy thing. I'm a 12-time Ironman finisher.
Yep.
But I watched age groupers, and as they got to their 50s and their 60s and their 70s, their muscle tensile strength just began to wane.
Okay,
you could see that they could go all day, but they couldn't pedal as hard, or they couldn't swim and pull as hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to myself, one of the Ironmans, you know what? We're all gonna fade unless we can jam the system, unless we can take on ourselves and see if we can do some things. I went over to CrossFit and said, I need to change who I am at about 63. And I then met Mark Devine and SEALFIT. And then I heard about all of his stuff. And so I said, you know what, as an ex-special ops guy, I'm going to go ahead and challenge myself to see if you can grow older and stronger at the same time versus older and weaker.
Yeah.
And then you get to watch senior athletes on YouTube and stuff. So I started that whole regimen. And sure enough, my body began to change. Everything began to change. And I became as strong as I was in my 20s.
I want to ask you a question about that. So we've always assumed it's physical. We've always assumed that after about 40, there's this 45-degree angle, right? And from there to 90, if you're lucky, that's how it's going to go.
You bet.
Would you say it's more social than physical? It's something that we've accepted and been taught, and that's what's causing it? I don't mean obviously. I mean, there's some decline, but is it more of a social thing than a physical thing even?
It is a social thing in that the norm is, hey, relax, dude, just get old.
In the golden years.
The golden years.
You don't have to do that anymore.
Retire.
Yeah.
And I knew that there were certain guys that looked really stronger in bike or in swim or in run or in push-ups, but they weren't aerobic guys and anaerobic guys.
Yep.
They just, you know, you can do marathons.
You go all day, but.
Whatever. And I just said, Mark, who you'll interview, Mark, he goes, come, hang with us.
Yeah.
And so sure enough, I put in 2.5 years of just cardio with strength stuff.
So I want to ask a question about that because, you know, a lot of people are going to watch this and say, I'm 60 years old, awesome, so I can be super fit too. And it's true, but it sounds like there's a lot of work too.
You know, for me, I started off with 3 dead arm pull-ups.
Yep.
11 Ironmans, 3 dead arm pull-ups. No strength.
Yeah.
I'm a swim, bike, run lean guy.
Sure.
It took me a year to get to 7,
mm-hmm.
and it took me 2 years to get to 12 and 14.
Yep.
And if I just put in the consistent time, and did the schedules and stuff, my body wanted to get stronger.
Yeah.
And it changed. It morphed on me. And everyone would say, wow, that's a trip. That's amazing. Yeah. And I go, it is. Yeah. It's working.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, your confidence comes up and you go, I can do this. I don't have to age decrepitly.
Yeah.
I don't have to fade and say I'm just a senior athlete. You can still stay in the game.
Yeah.
And so with that, I said, I'm going to try to put together five events that will completely challenge me and will just be, who did that? A 66-year-old?
So the five events.
The five events. So we did a Greece thing, 300 of Sparta. We went across Greece, 238 miles in 8 days.
Yeah.
Second of all was a marathon run, swim, run from one beach, San Clemente Pier, to the Newport Beach Pier. We did it was a 9-hour run, swim in the ocean.
Yeah, and running on the beach is not easy.
Third was Kokoro.
Yep.
Kokoro was last October.
One of the hardest physical challenges I've ever heard of.
By far.
Yeah.
It crushed me.
Yeah.
If I had known, I wouldn't have done it.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that great though, when you don't know? You go in and you find out what you're capable of.
You do 50 hours.
Yeah.
At 66 with a bunch of 18, 20, 40-year-olds. Yeah. You're the oldest guy in the group by 25 years.
Yeah.
They're going, hang in there, Mr. Owens.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
not Robert. It's Mr. Owens, you okay?
Sir.
And you just go, oh, I'm dying, you know? Then I went ahead 3 weeks later and did Ironman Mexico.
Awesome.
And didn't even train for it.
Yeah.
I was in such good shape from Kokoro.
But that's a really interesting point. And so many people say, I'll train for this thing. And then in between they don't, and I'll train for that thing. And when you're 20, you can get away with that. And as you get older, that gap gets bigger. The events are a little further apart. You're falling apart a little bit more in between. You just can't catch back up. So what's your philosophy on that as far as now that you're in shape? Are you going to let yourself go in between? I know the answer, but I want to hear your reason for that.
Yeah, no. Once you get in that place in the zone where your body's functioning and all the parts are moving, you want to get in everything you can because it falls off so quickly when you release and go back. So, you know, I wanted to stay in the game. I knew that, you know, Ironman was a piece of cake after what I'd been through.
Yeah.
And it was.
And it's incredible how the things that other people think are almost impossible, like an Ironman, you get to a level where you start to take it for, not take it for granted, but it becomes your baseline. So I want to ask you a question about that.
And then 777.
Yeah, yeah. So 777, that's a pretty recent one. That was in February, I believe.
Yeah, 2 months ago.
So what an endeavor. So tell me the continent you started on.
You do the Antarctic.
Wow.
You fly from Cape Town on a 757, land on the ice.
Yeah.
You get off, they set up the course. The course is running around the airstrip.
Yeah.
A bunch of Russians, little Quonset huts.
Yeah, yeah.
It's bizarre. And then I went to REI and bought clamps for the bottom of my shoes.
Yeah.
And you get out there, and all of a sudden they say, ready, set, go, and you start running.
Yeah.
And you run, and it was a wild experience because in the very beginning it was like 10 above. And it was, wow, that's really neat because it was 30 below last year. And so I brought like 3 jackets and 4 pairs of gloves. And what do I wear? You know, how, like the Pittsburgh Steelers in a playoff game.
Yeah.
What do you wear? You know, those guys have nothing on their sleeves.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Should I do that? Anyway, I got dressed for a warmer 10 above or so.
Yeah.
And then about 2 hours into it, the weather changed.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it's really dropping quick. And the wind came up and you're too cold to want to stop and go change your clothes and get your other clothes because it's way off the course. So you just power. And pretty soon it's blowing. You can't see the guy's feet in front of you. It's just like Gobi Desert wind, snow blowing, and you're frozen. You have your hands buckled up under your jacket and stuff. You know, you have your things pulled down. Anyway, you finish this thing, and you shake your head and go, that was nuts.
So for most people, that's their once-in-a-lifetime experience. That was nuts. I'm going home. I'm not doing another thing for 6 months. I'm going to recover from this one. I'm going to warm up. Next day. So we can't go through, obviously, every detail about each marathon, but you finish the Antarctic Marathon, and you fly to?
Cape Town. You go back.
Yeah.
And then you run the Cape Town Marathon.
Yeah.
And what they do is you have to get 7 done within 7 24-hour periods.
Yeah.
So they book them closer in the front. So you do the one.
Start to give you,
You do Antarctic, you fly 5 hours back, and within 7 hours, you're running your next one.
Yeah.
So you have to run 2 marathons within the first day.
Yeah.
And it was fun. It was like, can I do this? But the challenge was we went from like that super cold weather to all of a sudden it's 90 degrees in Cape Town. And we're just profusely sweating because the gray starts at 12 in the afternoon because that's when the plane lands. You do it by when the plane lands, you run. You had to run 4 marathons at night.
Yep.
Because that's when the plane landed.
Sure.
Just get off, run, get back on the plane.
So I want to jump forward. So, you know, each continent, we're going to just jump forward to the last one. So Miami. Tell me something super memorable at Miami. So Miami is the last marathon. You've done it, right? You're coming to the finish.
All the families fly in, you know, to watch you, greet you and stuff. But as I mentioned earlier, the hero was a guy named Brent, and he had Parkinson's. Mm-hmm. And he was about 35, and he said, Parkinson's will not take me out. I refuse to yield my life to Parkinson's. And he did all seven marathons with Parkinson's, with some physical difficulties.
Yeah.
And we all thought he was the hero. I mean, there were guys, everybody was faster than him.
Yeah.
Brent came in every time with a smile on his face, dragging that leg, just going, did another one. And all these people showed up at the end for him and ran with him.
Yeah.
And we just, I cried, I just went, I just want to be like you when I grow up.
Which is great, because I'm sure you hear that lots. People saying to you, sir, you're an inspiration. I want to be you when I grow up. So what do you think it is that so many people will never be that when they grow up? They go through life and, you know, they're just kind of taking it as it comes, and they're not manhandling life. I don't want to say manhandling, they're not people handling life.
Sure.
But so what do you think the difference is? So whether it's you, you know, an older athlete who says, I'm going to be at my top of my game at an older age, or Brent with Parkinson's who says, I'm not going to let this take me out. What's the difference there?
You know, you have a choice how you live your life. Mm-hmm. And part of it is, show me your friends and I'll show you your future.
Yeah.
If losers hang out with losers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Winners hang out with winners.
Yeah.
Negative people hang out with negative people.
Yeah.
Positive people hang out with excuse-minded people hang out with others who allow them to have excuses.
So normally, we're going to go to a break in a minute, and normally I will ask you for life lessons in the second half, and we're going to do that. But I want to just grab onto that thought you said there. So, you know, our viewers come from all spectrums. I want to talk about your business background a little bit next. But let's talk about the viewer who is, or the listener, we're on iTunes as well, who wants to change your life. You know, because if you've always hung out with winners and you're a winner and that's great, you listen to this, you say, yeah. But let's suppose you're somebody who you've grown up in a family that's pretty negative and not active. And you've got friends who you know, are would rather you stay in that bucket, you know, the lobster analogy. What do you say to that person as far as what's the first step to start to move? You know, you obviously have a military background and you've done Ironman. So you at 63 taking that next step, it wasn't what everyone would do, but it was a natural evolution. So that's a long question, but for that person who they want to make that change, and how do they do that? What would be the first step you'd recommend to them?
You have to get your why.
Yeah.
Well, you know, how strong is your why? If you can stand being miserable, you'll be miserable.
Sure.
If you can stand always out of it, having problems, then you'll stay that way. There has to be a point in your life, like in the book Habit, there's got to be a point in your life where you just say, I'm tired of smoking that cigarette.
Yeah.
I'm tired of being obese. I'm tired of being a liar. I'm tired of looking in the mirror and hating what I see.
Yeah.
And when that moment comes, and they come in our lives at different times, mm-hmm. I feel like a grandfather talking. when they come, you look in the mirror and you say, today's the day.
Yep.
I'm gonna quit lying to myself and I'm gonna make a decision. It doesn't have to be a big one. It can be a little one, but you get a win.
Yeah.
And on my podcast, or when I do my things, I say, have you got your win today?
Yep.
Everybody needs to program a win into their day, or wins into their day, whether it's don't eat, or don't drink that, or don't say that, or just did you do something different than the rut that you've been living in?
So many people, I think, are waiting for that one home run, but they don't even go up to bat, so how are they gonna get it, as opposed to go up there, hit a single every day, hit a double, do another pull-up, right? We're going to go to a break. When we come back, I want to talk about your business background and how you're tying these lessons from athletics and from all these experiences into what you're doing now.
You bet.
Fantastic.
Sure.
Now, we will come right back to this awesome episode in just a second. But first, we're going to take a break up here. And if you're not watching, if you're listening, we're on top of a gorgeous mountain in Morzine, France. And my dear friend Colonel Nye is holding a box of Athletic Greens.
Superfood.
It is a superfood for super fun and great people.
Well, it's for everybody.
It is for everybody.
It is for everybody.
But
for
it will
ages.
Make you more super fun.
And I love you. 100% focus on happiness.
I was going to say their motto is 100% focus on happiness.
That seems like your motto too, Johnny.
Well, but what is happiness, right? Because if you're walking around and you're not getting nutrition and you're not getting sleep and you're not happy and healthy, you know,
yeah, like, what's your purpose?
I mean,
exactly.
People have this whole like existential conversation about how to be healthy. And like, it's pretty simple, folks. You know, Michael Pollan said it best. He was like, eat less, mostly plants, and like drink a lot of water. So all of the solutions of the world are solved in this little packet of greens.
Take a packet out there and show everybody what it looks like.
Now, if you're not listening, it's a super easy, simple little black packet with a great logo of a champion running. And all you got to do is just open it up, pop it into any other liquid. And we like water.
So what's he likes orange juice. What's in that little packet? How many vitamins?
In this little package is a whole litany of vitamins, okay? Then you have a bunch of things that are great for your liver. You got milk thistle. You got dandelions. You got things that are good for immune and immunology. You got reishi mushrooms and shiitake. You got things that are going to oxygenate your blood. So while you're running, your body's able to sponge up more oxygen. You got spirulina and chlorella.
I just want to mention too, this is the travel pack. So this is what
it's travel pack.
Yeah. So we're really
we're travelers.
We're so lucky to have these partners like Athletic Greens. They sent us the big package that you just make with the scoop in your kitchen. They sent us these ones, and you know what? When you're home,
if you don't
great.
Have a
you,
kitchen,
you get up in the morning, you have something
right,
great.
You just scoop it in.
But man, when you're busy, when you're traveling, you're jumping in a cab to get to work, you're jumping in a plane to get to Morzine, France. It's really nice to have something that, like you say, it's a one-stop shop. It natural ingredients, raw ingredients. They've taken 10 years to make sure they have the right stuff. And I've drank a lot of greens over the years, and I'm sort of on and off them because this one is good for you, but it doesn't taste good. This one tastes great, but you look at it, it's got sugar in it. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, you want something that you'll want to drink, that you look forward to. And I can honestly say that with this one.
Well, we've interviewed a couple different vegetarians, fruitarians, those kinds of people, right?
I love that that.
Well, no, but the one thing they all talked about was how difficult it was to find their ingredients every day.
Yep.
But they also all traveled with their own blenders.
Yeah,
their
sure.
Their own bullet blenders or whatever, yep. Right? But again, with this, it's just a packet.
It's
all
done
of that's
for
already
you.
Been taken care of for you, right?
Yeah.
And you got the handy shaker, you pop it in, you shake it up, and you drink it.
And yeah. If we're talking about economics, okay, folks, I hung out at a lot of, you know, organic co-ops and supermarkets, and if you were going to buy all of this produce organically,
yeah, right.
And all of these vitamins and all of these mushrooms, that's thousands of dollars,
well, and
literally,
even...
and it's so bulky, and it's like TSA takes it, and... You know,
TSA is
stealing
your food.
I've had more fights with TSA,
but
respectfully.
You know, you think about how many people, they're a little flat, they go and they grab a $7 latte, and they don't think anything of it.
Right.
And, you know, this is a lot less expensive than that, and it's going to...
A latte less expensive?
A latte less expensive.
Very nice.
But it's going to give you nutrients and energy that lasts the entire day as opposed to, you know, 15 minutes feeling good and then a big sugar crash.
Actually, your entire life, right? Build it up, folks. Remediate your soil. Drink some nutrition. Get some good greens and get out there and have a blast.
All right, let's get back to the
episode.
We love
you all. Let's go watch. Okay.
This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Athletic Greens. Ensure your body gets the nutrition it needs. Athletic Greens has a special offer for our listeners. Just go to athleticgreens.com/Spartan, and then when you place your order, they'll send you a free travel pack with 20 individually wrapped packets. That's a free offer just for our listeners.
Robert, one big thread that I've noticed with some of the guests that we have on is how it's not just about them. You know, you've done these incredible things. It could be all about you, but I get the sense that it's not, that there's something bigger than that driving you. So what would you say is the thing that keeps you moving forward, keeps you taking on new challenges?
You know, I do a lot of speaking, and I like to help people. Mm-hmm. People have helped me. I wouldn't be where I am today if I hadn't had encouragers in my life.
Yep.
In my 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, there have been people that have said, go for it, Robert. You can do this. I couldn't have done it by myself.
Sure.
When I speak, whether it's to college teams or to business guys, I'm a business consultant, so companies hire me and I come in. The deal is, I want to help you. Mm-hmm. You can change, you can grow, you can make it, you can evolve. And when the light turns on, like any coach or any teacher, when that light turns on, you can see the nickel drop. It's worth everything.
Sure.
And so I like to help people as much as I like to win.
Yep.
And so between those two, I get to win, and then I get to share with people that they can do it too. And life's pretty fun.
You know, you mentioned CrossFit, and we interviewed Katrin Davidsdottir, who's Ooh. Been a two-time CrossFit
right.
World Champion.
Right.
And she said something similar. She said, you know, when I go into these competitions, it's great to win. But the great thing about winning, it's not the win itself. It's that it gives me a platform that people listen to me. So when you're the oldest finisher, Kokoro, and you're, you know, you're doing all these incredible things, people want to hear what you have to say. And so suddenly your platform for helping people expands drastically. So when you're helping people and helping draw out the best in them, whether it's in a business setting or in an athletic setting, what are the most common messages? What are the things that if they can just get this, you've already touched on a couple, but if they can get this from you, it's going to make a difference in their life?
Choices.
Okay, yeah.
Number one, every day we just have choices. Two, pain. Mm-hmm. There is good pain and there's bad pain. Most people run from pain. Mm-hmm. But you can't grow without going through pain.
Yeah.
Emotional pain, relational pain, financial pain. To go to the next level is going to cost you something. And most people, number three, don't have the emotional strength to take on the pain that's going to take to evolve and change and lose friends.
Yep.
And not know where their new friends are going to come from.
So many people say they don't know what to do. They do know what to do, but they're not willing to take on. They don't think they can do it. They won't go through the struggle to get there.
Because people want the testimony without the test.
Yeah, 100%. Isn't that great?
People want the victory without the struggle.
Yeah, yeah.
And there is no victory in life without a struggle.
Yeah.
So for the listener out there, if you want to do something, get ahead, then you're going to have to pay the price, which is going to cost you friends,
yeah,
money, time, social activities. You're going to have to change.
Yeah.
You have to say no to be able to say yes.
Yeah.
And people don't want to say no. They want to be able to do all the stuff and then feel better too, and you can't do it.
Yeah, 100%. But I love your nod to struggle and the idea that in our society, we're taught avoid all struggle. 70 degrees in the house, 70 degrees in the gym, 70 degrees in the car. And that struggle we see is bad. You know, and something bad happens, you're just like, oh no, why me? As opposed to the opportunity in that. So tell me about a couple of struggles that have shaped you along the way.
You know, early on, I had bad feet. I'm an adopted kid.
Yeah.
My parents got me out of a sort of an orphanage.
Sure.
They picked up a special needs kid. I had these big corrective shoes on from first till sixth grade and couldn't play any kickball. Mm-hmm. When I finally did get normal Converse high tops,
yeah, yeah,
I wasn't picked.
Okay, yeah.
It shaped me with rejection.
Yep.
And poor self-worth and issues. Gosh, I went through a divorce. Mm-hmm. The divorce wrecked me. Mm-hmm. I lost everything in the recession. I built a house for $2.5 million and it went on the market for $700,000.
Oh, yeah.
Took all the life savings.
Yeah.
There are just times when in your life you hit the wall. Life plays itself out. And you have a choice to suck your thumb.
Yeah.
And to, you know, say, I just got dealt a bad deck. Or if you're around the right people, hey, suck it up, dude.
Yeah.
Your best is ahead. Come on, let's go. Get over it. I'll never forget, I had lost my house and gone through a divorce. And my father, who was at that time about 95, he said, it's all right. I said, what do you mean it's all right? He goes, at least you're not selling apples on the street.
Yeah.
Referring to the Great Depression and his family selling apples on the street with nothing.
Yeah.
He said, you're a boomer. You've been living high for a long time. Get over it.
Yeah.
And I said, wow, I really appreciate the encouragement, Dad.
But it was. It's
but
incredible.
It was. Yeah, it was hey, dude. Get up and get going again. So you get up and you get going again.
You know what I love most about that and that you sharing so openly about that is you know, I'm sure a lot of people go, well, yeah, if I was Robert, I'd be doing it too. He's fit, he's buff, he's confident, he's got all these things. But that's not because life's been handed you easy. It's because you've been willing to grind it out and start again and go through it and do the work, right?
One time, this is a bizarre deal, but I've gone from being big man on campus, having all this stuff, notoriety, to being completely broke.
Yeah.
And I'm at LAX, and I don't have enough money to get home.
Yeah.
And my credit card is maxed.
Yeah.
And I found myself at the Marriott Hotel, and I had no way home. It's about midnight. So I rolled my roller into the men's bathroom on the first floor of the hotel, and I crawled around the throne, put my roller up on the toilet, and slept around that handicap one, because you couldn't see anybody in the handicap one.
Yeah.
And I spent the night hugging this throne, saying, this is bizarre.
Yeah.
And then I hitchhiked home the next morning. I thought, if I can make it from hiding out in a toilet, sleeping all night, after living in a five-bedroom, big house, 30 nations, traveling, speaking, and being down here, this will be interesting. Yeah. And so you start rebuilding. People think, you know, some people just have this golden life and things are easy. The people that accomplish a lot have substance because they've gone through a lot of things. And most folks don't want to go through things. I don't want to go through them either.
Yeah.
But they either make you or break you. And you have a choice. We have a choice. They have a choice every day on saying, I can, I will, or, you know, this thing sucks. I have guys in wheelchairs, and I say to them, I'm sorry about your wheelchair injury, but what are we doing today to get a win?
Yeah.
And they say, well, I'm rolling faster, or I'm lifting my arms, or I'm doing this. And I say, all of us can get a win, blind, deaf, broken, whatever it is. You can find a way to smile and end the day and say, I feel better today. But we have a choice. But again, the people you hang around will shape you.
Yeah.
Because if you hang around people that say, you're okay, just live with it, you will. But if you hang around people that say, get over it, you know, when I go work out with all these kids, they go, Mr. Owens? And I go, yes. And they go, you want to quit or do you want to stop? I go, no, are you kidding me?
So
you just have to plow.
So for some people, their first win tomorrow might be just reaching out to that person who's already that next level up, who's already doing what they want to do, who's willing to mentor them. Yes, that might even be the first one right there. Before we wrap up, I want to ask you, so your involvement with helping people, and I know kids are important to you. You have five kids of your own?
Do.
But you're not just helping your own kids, you're helping other kids too. So tell me the organizations that you're involved with that are helping people.
That they're helping or I'm helping?
That you're helping. Like it's just something that you want to tell the listeners about that you can use this platform to shed some light on.
You know, something that America would be interested in is I'm ex-pararescueman.
Okay.
Our career field is only 42% filled. Mm-hmm. SEALs have their own issues, like about 38 or 39% filled, Army Rangers. We have kids that quit. Mm-hmm. And I am a mentor. I go work with kids that want to be special ops kids. And I get between their ears and I say, you're athletes, you can do this. Why are you going to quit? And they say, because this or that. Mm-hmm. And I have great joy working with these young men and some ladies and saying, you don't have to quit. You can make this.
Yeah.
And they look at you and they start to cry because no one's ever really pressed and got in them. And they kids will just start crying, going, Mr. Owens, I don't know that I can make it. And I go, dude, suck it up. I'm here. Go. Yeah. And they make it. And they come back and they go, I've never had a win like that in my life.
Yeah.
I think everybody here can pick a group. I really like kids, mm-hmm. high school, underprivileged kids. I like going into the hood.
Yeah.
I like getting in classrooms with these kids, you know, watch out, they got knives, let's go.
Yeah, sure.
And you just talk
to them.
They
won't have knives in a minute.
Well, you just say, come on, what's your issue, you know? Yeah. And I like kids and I like families. I like working with corporate business guys too. Yeah. Most of them are liars.
Sure.
Everything's perfect, everything's great. Yeah. Got the wife, got the car, got the house. About the third beer on the golf course, they tell you, well, I struggle.
Yeah.
Well, I know we all do, but we have so much pride, don't want to be ashamed, don't want to be outed, that everything's cool until you get fired or your wife leaves you or something. And I've had a crisis business where people say, will you come and I just listen? And then we say, how long do we have? A year, 2 years? How are we going to work this thing out? So I like kids. I like adults. Business guys have big egos. I like them. You know, big egos are an issue.
Yeah.
And then I just like being out there wherever I can helping kids.
Phenomenal. Hey, I am so super glad to have met you. And I look forward to not too far down the road being the oldest guy at some of these events.
Wish me luck.
Hopefully you're still around so I can't be.
I got a 20-year plan. We'll see how it goes, you know?
Awesome. Oh, amazing.
He's such a nice guy. You know, he walked in with a pararescue shirt on, and I have a lot of respect for the pararescue. Their credo is so that others may live, you know? And so if you start out young with that type of a mentality and then you just go on to do all these extraordinary things, you know, he was the nicest person when we've been here. He's just been like a calming force and just
very
around.
Cool guy.
Yeah,
he's such a cool guy. You had something to say there.
No, I was just thinking it's a lot like a lot of these guys who are older. She's talking about calming force, so I was thinking about it. They get to a point where it's the wisdom thing we've talked about, right? That kind of, even though he's pushing himself
Elder.
At 66 and he is testing himself, he knows what he can accomplish. He knows what he can do, else he wouldn't be doing this. But he's just very calm about it. You know,
for sure.
It's the wisdom aspect of it to me.
A neat thing, so when we were doing these interviews, Mark Devine came in for his interview as well, and he had done Mark's Kokoro, and at 66 years old, he's out there doing this unbelievable event that, like you say, most 20-year-olds in the world could never finish this. He finished it. It's really cool to see the mutual respect with him and Mark, and, you know, obviously he's made an impression on people. One thing that he made a really big impression on me is that he talked about how he had been an athlete, he had done some things, and then he hadn't for a while. And he'd sort of not let himself go, but he'd sort of step back from that whole world. And then he decided, I want to go back and show people what's possible, you know, what I'm capable of. But he said it was very, very different in his 60s. He couldn't just do the things he did in his 30s. He had to change his approach completely. And I love that thought. And, you know, when you interviewed Gabby Reese, and it was, you know, what do you have to do in your 40s that you didn't do in your 30s and 20s? And I think that that's a really key thing to look at, because if you're the athlete who at 55 says, I'm going to be a badass again, or maybe even for the first time, you got to understand that there are different ways to approach it than you might have before. You know, Robert said he eats a lot less than he ever used to eat. He sleeps a little bit less than he used to sleep. And he said, you know, his general metabolism has slowed down. Now, that doesn't mean his performance has slowed down. He said he's still getting faster and stronger, but a completely different approach. I love that.
Harder. It's harder when you get older. No doubt about it. None of us get out alive.
We're all going to tap out at some point, right?
But most people...
too old, Joe. When you're dead.
Most people, when they get older, though, and they say it's harder when you get older, they take that as an excuse not to do it, right?
Right.
As opposed to,
exactly.
It's harder when you get older, what am I going to do differently?
Well, as Joe talks about it all the time in his briefings, it's, you know, the expectation up here, and you start, and you're very excited about it, and then it tails off, right? So if you're an older guy, and you come back, or older woman, and you come back and say, I'm going to start again, so you fill with that enthusiasm. Yeah. Where it gets hard is that second, third day, second month, third week, whatever.
Yeah.
And trying to do it again and again. Doing it once is one thing. Doing it repetitively at an older age is very difficult, no matter what it is you're talking about.
When he said, I loved when he said his first day out, he did 3 dead hang pull-ups. He said, and after a year, I could do 7. I thought, man, if it's taking you 4, and not that this is a bad thing, but how do you keep going? You know, you've added 4 pull-ups in a year. That's awesome. That shows dedication and willingness and understand that it's a long game.
It's a long game. Well,
just think about it. From 7 pull-ups to 7 marathons.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a gap there, seems.
There's his book right there.
Yeah. That's another title. Write that one down.
I got it.
But I wonder, I'd be curious to know, like, what it was when he woke up that 65th year and he said, I'm just going to conquer the bleep out of this year.
You know, motivation, I think, comes from, at least from me, and I think from a lot of the people we've heard, comes from either internal, you want to prove something to yourself, or external, you want to prove it to somebody else. So I don't know if you have an insight on that, whether he was internal or external.
As opposed to coaching insight, I'm going to share with you guys a personal story, a little self-deprecating here. When we were doing these interviews, we thought we were going to maybe go to Laird Hamilton's house for a pool workout with him and Gabby Reese.
He was doing search and rescue or rescue.
Yeah, so Laird didn't come in, so we didn't go to the house. True story, I'm thinking, cool, Laird Hamilton, one of my all-time heroes. We get to go into a pool workout with him. And that morning I got out of the shower and I said, yeah, I'm not taking my shirt off in front of Larry and Joe. I'm not doing it. So there's a bit of ego kicks in, right? And you think all you have to do is get over the ego. Yeah. No, I'm not getting over the ego. I'm not doing it. But what a thing to in life, miss an opportunity like that because you don't feel like you're in good shape. So what we tend to do is we say, I'm going to train for that event.
Sure.
And I'm going to get in shape for my wedding. I'm going to shape. And in between, we slack. It gets harder and harder and harder to bounce back. Why not just stay in shape, period? So when somebody says, hey, you want to knock out 7 marathons in 7 days and 7 continents? You can go, yeah. Or somebody says, you want to do a death race? Yeah. Somebody says, you want to take your shirt off in front of Laird Hamilton? No. It was only on iTunes I do it, but not on YouTube. No, yeah, so from a motivation standpoint, I'm turning 50 this year, and I keep saying, I'm going to be in the best shape of my life, I'm going to be the best shape of my life, and then I'm not.
You're young
bucks. That right there, I'm going to put it on camera, that was my wake-up call. Next year, I'm coming over to Laird Hamilton's house and doing a pool workout no matter what.
With a six-pack.
Yeah, to be fair, so Johnny, when we did our podcast in Iceland, in the middle of the night, he was asked to do the 60-hour gogi.
Yeah, that's true.
And so he just put on his boots and hiked through the tundra, no problem, until he was hallucinating. Those are some funny podcasts if you want to see those ones. But you guys do
I wasn't
that
drunk.
Ability.
Yeah,
no,
sure,
no,
sure.
But
that's from being part of this world. Like when I was 38, I couldn't do stuff like that. Then I started hanging out with Joe and started doing all this stuff. And it's important. It's important to be always able to just go, right?
Yeah, and I think so there are people like what you've just said who kind of come to this later, it seems like.
Yep.
And then there's the other model, which is him. To be the pararescue guy early on in life. You know, not you're jumping out of helicopters. He was in Alaska. You're jumping in cold water.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love cold water.
You know,
But I'm saying it's within his DNA. He has done it, and he did it for years.
Yep.
So there's always that little fire in the belly kind of thing still, right? Yep. Can I still do it? Can I do it one more time? Or and whatever, and it takes over, and it motivates you to get up and start moving again.
For sure. And right. as Wim Hof says, he says it's not about ego, it's about we go.
Spartan.com/podcast. You could also check us out on YouTube and all kinds
iTunes,
of places out there.
Are you going to say toodles? Are you going to say it?
Check us out on iTunes. Toodles.
This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Athletic Greens. Ensure your body gets the nutrition it needs. Athletic Greens has a special offer for our listeners. Just go to athleticgreens.com/Spartan, and then when you place your order, they'll send you a free travel pack with 20 individually wrapped packets. That's a free offer just for our listeners. Thanks for listening to another epic story of success. If you like our show, be sure to tell your friends about it. We want to hear from you. Just leave us a comment below if you're watching on YouTube, or if you're listening, go to Twitter and find us at Spartan Up Pod or Instagram at Spartan Up Podcast and let us know what you think. Then go subscribe on iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you listen to our show. Spartan Up is brought to you by Spartan Race. To find a race near you, visit Spartan.com.